Guys, welcome back to the baseball podcast. We have a very special episode today. What may shape up to be one of my favorite episodes we've ever done. Ethan, who do we have coming on? Is it
Tom,
let me guess. Let me guess. Is it
my apologies.
Bud Selig?
Close.
Close. Okay. Is it Mark McGwire?
Warmer.
Okay. Is it
You went from executive to player, so you are warmer.
That's true. That's true. And next time, I guess Kurt Flood. Is it?
Wait, warmer? That's a fast player.
Yeah. Is it Australia Baseball League legend Logan Wade?
What a guess. It is ABL legend, Team Australia legend, World Baseball Classic legend, Logan Wade. He's the starting shortstop.
The
He might
sharding
be he
shortstop.
might be
Don't
a starting shortstop. I don't know much
besmirch him
about
like that. He was nice to
him.
us.
He was nice to us.
Jeez.
He has been the starting shortstop for Team
There you
Australia in the
go.
World Baseball Classic. Famously had a great game in the upset win over Team Korea in the 2023 tournament. He has been the shortstop for the Brisbane Bandits of the Australian Baseball League for a long time. He won back to back to back to back, so four in a row, Claxton Shield championships with them. So he's an ABL legend, a Team Australia legend. He played in the minors for the Minnesota Twins, and he is awesome. I'm
Yeah.
gonna leave it at that.
He's in a real rarefied air among Australian baseball players.
He
So,
is. No, he's definitely an ABL legend. And he was nice enough to come waste his time talking to us, who are morons. So I
yeah,
couldn't
I would
ask
say that
anything
we're,
else of him.
aside from podcasting, I wouldn't say that we're really legends at anything.
Are you implying that we're legends at podcasting?
I mean, listen, dude, we got 48 YouTube subscribers, okay?
That's a good point.
There's a lot of people out there with zero YouTube subscribers. And you know what? To each and every one of you out there with zero YouTube subscribers, read it and weep.
Yeah, get on my level.
Hey,
You
look,
know, I
better
will
luck
say,
next time,
I will
scrub.
say, I was looking at our podcasting the other day because I was putting up our last whatever episode we put up last,
Okay.
and we recently, and I have no idea how they track this, if this number's even right.
Oh, I'm in
But the our
suspense.
like host, RSS.com, said that we now have surpassed 5,000 downloads. So that means, and I don't know how many of that is me. I don't know how many of that is you. You know what I mean? But
I
that means,
personally have never downloaded our podcast. I do it on YouTube.
oh, then yeah, I don't think that counts
So
against it. I think it's like
zero of
Spotify,
that is
Apple, that
me.
sort of thing. Oh, there you go. But either way, that means 5,000 different times
Different
somebody has
Toms.
looked. Yeah. Well,
Everybody who's ever
listen.
downloaded the podcast is a Tom. It's just not me.
Listen, there's 7 billion people in the world. You don't think there's 5,000 of them named Tom?
I'd like to see evidence.
But yeah, that means 5,000 different times someone went on the baseball podcast.
Dude, are you okay? Like,
No, it's 11:40. Dude, I'm
it's
getting sidetracked.
11:45 here too, dude. I don't
I
live that
know, I
far away
know.
from
No, I'm gonna get sidetracked for a second. I started my new job at the end of October. So for the past like 3+ months, I've been going to work at 8 in the morning. And I wanna say, I walk to like 3 minutes down the street.
Okay,
I get
that's
up at
rough.
like,
That's
yeah,
a tough one.
I get up at like 7:20. It's like no big deal. But dude, I'm used to a life where I literally ha like I set an alarm for 1:30 a.m. for me to go to bed, and then I'd get up at 9:30 every day and I'd do my thing, and I just go to work at 11, whatever, I'd do my thing, and I loved it. I loved every minute of it. And now going to bed at like 11 makes me miserable. And the
Dude.
worst part is like this is a Friday night. I can stay up, and I was sitting like I was watching TV with my wife like an hour ago. It was like 10:30,
Okay.
and I was literally on the sofa like.
Oh, we've all been there. Yeah.
Well, but she looked at me and she
It's
was like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "What? Yeah, yep,
like, no, I
And
wasn't
she go,
sleeping. No,
and
absolutely
no, and
not.
she goes, "Don't you have an interview in like an hour?" And I was like, "Yes." And she goes,
Oh, dude.
"No, I did, no, I did remember, like I didn't forget about it." But she goes, "Well, if you're falling asleep now," and I was like, "I'll be okay, I'll be okay,
You
don't
were
worry."
fine, I will
And
say.
I
I don't
got
know
that
if you guys
adrenaline.
know this, but little known podcasting secret, we frequently do these intros after we do the
Yeah.
main podcast. So I'm really showing you how the sausage is made here. I'm reading to you from the podcast, the baseball podcast playbook.
It's true. It's absolutely right. Anyway, going all the way back, we're getting sidetracked
Yes.
here.
Yeah, well, let's circle all the way back to.
Let's give the people what they want. We have Logan Wade coming on, and I just want to give a shout out. We had Eric Bolnar on a few episodes ago, and Eric then I emailed him in regards to this article that they put up on the abl.com.au, which is the league's website, and they were looking for like volunteer writers. So I went, yeah, okay, I'll do that. So I emailed Eric and sent him my thing, and he said, you know, that sounds great. So I wrote some stuff for the ABL, and one of them, he like tasked me with this. He emailed me and said, how would you like to do a playoff preview for the Brisbane Bandits? And I said, yeah, okay, sounds good. But like, I don't know anybody in the league other than Eric, obviously. Like, I don't know any players or anything. So I was just going to kind of do like a, you know, bird's eye view sort of thing of just, here's how they did, you know, here, whatever. And he went, how about I put you in touch with Logan Wade and Shane Watson, who's the manager. And I went, that'd be cool.
Like, you know what? No, I don't need it.
Well, so I assumed it would just be me like opening up like a Google Doc and just typing in some questions, and he'd forward them along, and then he'd forward me back the answers. But he was just like, okay, great. Do you have an iPhone? And I went, yeah. And he went, great. Here's his number. Shoot him a text. So I'm like, okay. So I texted with Logan Wade, and he was super, super nice. And I texted back and forth like maybe five times and asked him some questions. And then I remember at the very end, I was like finishing up the article, and I was like, I need one more thing to like tie this all together. So I texted him back one more question, like really late at night, and he texted me back right away and gave me his answer. So I was like, this guy's really nice. Maybe he'd be willing to waste his time with us. So I texted him again. I was like, hey, I have this podcast. You want to come on? And he was like, ah, sure, mate. I was like, great. So no,
don't mock his accent. That's brutal.
I'm not mocking. Listen, well, I mean, look, just because I'm not good at it doesn't mean I'm mocking it. Well, imitation.
I mean, you
is...
using it is a mockery.
Imitation.
And it would be for me too, by the way. I just want you guys to know. As you know, me versus things from other countries that are speech related, famous rivalry here on the podcast.
Listen, imitation is the most sincere form of flattery. So, right, Logan Wade, when you're listening to this, I'm going to put this in here for his future use. Logan, when you're feeling down, when you're feeling low, you can turn this on and hear me just serenading you with my terrible Australian accent.
Yeah, could you say razor blades real quick?
Ah, no, I didn't get that from Logan Wade. I got that from Peter Moylan.
I know.
Yeah. For those listening, I saw an interview one time where Peter Moylan was talking to some schmuck on the Royals or something. And the guy asked him, you know, like, oh, yeah, whatever. Can you say whatever? Can you say Vegemite or something? And Peter Moylan went, anybody can do an Australian accent. Yeah. I don't know. And he was like, anybody can do an Australian accent. And the guy goes, what do you mean? And he goes, if you wanted to say razor blades, say rise up lights really fast. And the guy goes, rise up lights? And he goes, rise up lights. Which is hilarious.
You know what? So, works like a charm.
It totally works. So anyway, this is getting really weird.
Yeah,
I don't even know. I don't think
path.
Yeah, if I were Logan Wade, I wouldn't waste my time listening to any of this.
There's a decent chance a lot of this will stay on the cutting room floor, I do want to say.
Perhaps. We'll see. But anyway, going all the way back, Eric Bolnar put me in touch with Logan Wade. Logan was like, couldn't have been nicer. And so I was like, I'm just going to try. So I texted him, asked him to come on the show. And he was like, yeah, absolutely. No sweat. So we set up a time. And I just like sort of picked a random time. Like I was like, all right, it should be nighttime, our time. And then sort of early afternoonish for him. That would probably work best. So I was like, how about, I don't know, 11 p.m. for me on Friday. So 3 p.m. on Saturday for you. And he's like, yeah, no sweat. So I texted him today just to confirm, and he was like, yeah, I only have about like 40 minutes because I got to go to the field. We're playing against the KBO team. And I was like, oh, you got like something important going on.
Yeah, you know, lest we forget, so, you know, you play baseball for a living.
Yeah, exactly. So Logan Wade could not have been nicer. So anyway, should we just turn it over to our interview?
Yeah, let's turn it right over, because honestly, I don't want to make people wait any longer.
Yeah. No, you know what it is? Honestly, we're not making things better.
We're not. Absolutely. We're not. But yeah, yeah, anyway, guys, listen, without further ado, let's turn it over to Logan Wade. And I hope you guys enjoy it as much as we enjoyed bringing it to you.
Welcome back to the Baseball Podcast. We're thrilled to be joined by Team Australia legend, ABL legend, Logan Wade. Logan, thanks for coming on. I had no idea until just a second ago you're off to go play against some KBO stars. Tell me what you guys are up to.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. Yeah, we came to Melbourne a couple of days ago, and we got two games against the Hanwha Eagles, which is a KBO team, and they've been here having their spring training. So pretty good that after our ABL season, we get some games in, wearing the Australian uniform and in front of Australian fans. It's pretty cool.
Super cool. This is the first time in what, 3 or 4 years? Last time they played in Australia, Team Australia, was the Doosan Bears, right? 2020? Does that sound right?
Exactly right, exactly right. And it was kind of, this one here seems a bit more formal as well. So it's pretty cool. I think since how well we've done the last couple of tournaments, the Team Australia environment, everything we do from here on in, is pretty special and pretty formal. So it's good.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, let me ask you this. What is it like playing, I'm not sure what the right word would be, maybe sort of a transient kind of national team career? You're always traveling different places and having to play on other teams' home soil. What's it like finally being able to come home?
Yeah, it's cool. Like you don't get the opportunity too much. Most of the time we're going over to Asia, which is unbelievable because, you're going over there and you're kind of like the underdog and you're stepping into their world. But when you get to play in front of your home fans, it's pretty cool. I think the last big game I played against was the Dodgers and the Diamondbacks when we played at the SCG, the Sydney Cricket Ground, years ago. I think it was like 2014 or 2013. So
Yeah.
this one here seems, close to that, and the build up for it's, a lot better as well. So it's good. It's awesome.
This is it sounds like it's a good opportunity for you guys to see. Maybe not, for those of you who've been to the World Baseball Classic, but if you got any new players, it's their shot to see more of that international competition. Because I mean, I know you, for instance, have a you have already gotten a taste of what it's like to play against the Korean teams.
Yeah, we have. But it has been a while, and I think, as I alluded to earlier, the way that the Australian team has performed lately, I think it intrigues a lot of countries around the world, to come over and play. So a lot of the Koreans, a lot of the Japanese NPB teams come over and use Australia as spring training. But now to get the opportunity to play against Australia is pretty cool. But the young guys that come in, obviously you're sliding straight in and you're playing in front of your home fans. So for some of them, as daunting as it might be, it's pretty special because it doesn't happen too often as well. So.
Yeah, absolutely. That's super cool. Let me ask you this, because we know Australia is, an up and coming baseball nation. They've got plenty of big leaguers in their past, but definitely not on the level of, Japan, United States, Korea, something like that. How did you get into baseball growing up?
Yeah, so I was kind of like a dual sport athlete, which I think most guys that turn out to play baseball in Australia were playing other sports as well. So I went to a big, rugby union school, so I played rugby. I played tennis, and then I even played AFL, which is Aussie rules as well. So, and then I played baseball in the off season to that. Baseball's a summer sport here, so I'd play baseball, and then obviously, as I got a bit bigger and stronger, through playing rugby, I was approached by a scout to see if I was interested to go and, sign with the professional club, and it just all happened really quick for me.
So then what, off to play with the Twins, low A or high A, whatever, minor league affiliate, and then off to the United States?
I was pretty much maybe a couple of months later, I was at spring training, and I was playing baseball every day. It was pretty cool. Like, I wasn't too familiar with, like the MLB teams. I wasn't like, pretty much all about baseball because I was playing other sports. I was obviously interested in it. And then once I got over there, then it just turned into, straight baseball for about 5.5, 6 years. So, going to America kind of, changed my life. And then obviously I'd come back here and play in the off season in the ABL every year.
So you hadn't played in the ABL prior to getting looked
No.
at by MLB teams?
No, I wasn't. So I was probably classified as like your late bloomer, they call
Right.
it. So because I wasn't you know, purely baseball all year round. It was kind of like they were just, you know, basing me off my tools. I signed at 20 years old, where most Australians will sign at about 16 and a half, I think, when you can sign. So I didn't grow. I was trying to switch hit as well. So I wasn't having like the great success because I was trying to do both. And then as I got bigger and stronger from, you know, from playing rugby and, you know, getting in the weight room, I think that's when a scout approached me, and I had a good couple of games at a tournament, just like a local national tournament. And yeah, so I was kind of like a late bloomer and then signed at 20.
That's awesome. That's so cool. So now you're back in Australia. Obviously played in every ABL season for the past couple of years. Won 4 championships in a row with the Brisbane Bandits and still going strong, right? Anything else going on for you?
No, I mean, yeah, I mean, it didn't really slow down. I mean, the baseball in Australia has gotten bigger. The competition's gotten better. Obviously I have a little gap in the year where I've got to keep fit and active and, you know, hone in on my baseball skills, but the ABL and all the Australian trips that we go on kind of, you know, keep me in play. And I'm lucky enough to, as I get older, I can still get out there and, you know, play my best baseball. So with all this Australian stuff, you know, like we're here in Melbourne, it's keeping everyone going. And obviously we've got the Premier 12 here in November coming up. So, you know, won't be long before I'm flying over to Japan or, you know, wherever we have our pre-camp, and we're back to another big tournament. So it keeps me going. Yeah.
So a busy calendar. So let me ask you, speaking of big tournaments, the Premier 12, obviously, I know you were on the 2017 WBC team and obviously last year's WBC team. What's it been like seeing Team Australia? Let's just get into 2023, because that was the furthest you guys have ever made it. Had that amazing win against Team Korea. What was it like to be part of that?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome. As, you know, surprised as everyone was, it kind of wasn't that surprising to us. I mean, the preparation that we've had over the last couple of years has been great. Just the way that the team's molding together. I don't think, you know, the top 4 teams in the world do really well in tournaments because it's a similar team, and, you know, they get to play with each other a couple of times a year. And I think that's what separates regular season baseball to tournament baseball. It's completely different. So I think we believe that you know, we have the team that can upset anyone at any time. It was just getting the opportunity to do it. And I think, you know, us, the lead up, the build up to WBC, everyone was in the right mindset. And, you know, we just went out there and believed that we could do it. And everyone pulled through. It was a close game. But in the end, you know, we celebrated, but we kind of knew we could do it. So,
I mean, I just want to say, Ethan was a believer from day one. I mean, he almost, I think, did you explicitly call Australia over Korea? I think you might have. It's been like a year.
I had you guys moving on. Yeah. That was our episode with Sean. I don't know if you know who Sean Spradling is, but we had him on and we went over our pools and I said that Australia was going to move on. And basically I was saying, you know, I was like, Korea is amazing. Korea is very good. If they have a little bit of an off night and Australia plays their best baseball, and I think I said, like, they could eke out a win, maybe 3-2, something like that. It ended up being, what, 8-7? It was sort of a higher scoring affair.
I think it was, 8-7 or 10-8, something like that.
It was higher scoring. But Logan, you were awesome that game. 2 for 3 with an RBI, a run scored, solid play at shortstop. And I want to ask, just for my own curiosity, you were right there, shortstop, when Robbie Glendinning, I don't remember the Korean guy's name, I apologize, but when he tagged that guy really cheekily after he hit a double. Do you remember the play I'm talking about?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. That was like the play of the tournament, really.
Yeah. So here's something I got to ask, and I'm sure this is probably a question for Robbie more than it is for you, but was that something that you guys had kept an eye on and said, hey, let's try and do this if we can, or was that just spur of the moment, everything worked out?
It's funny because when it happened, we all got together. We actually talked about it because, you know, as you can imagine, these tournament games, it comes down to like the smallest little thing, whether it's one pitch. Sure. It even, everyone celebrates, right?
Mm-hmm.
The tournament play, someone gets a hit, they're celebrating. That's just the way the game is right now. It's so fun. And, you know, when it happened, it surprised me, but we were definitely talking about it because we got a We had to try and scratch any out we could get, but Robbie was just switched on, and that was the coolest thing. And I think because they challenged it, you know, like the wait, the suspenseful wait was even better.
Yeah.
and I don't think anyone could believe it, but when I turned to Robbie, I said, "Did you get him?" He said he did. So it was pretty cool, man. It was awesome.
That is so cool. So then, not only did you guys beat Korea, you then qualified to go to the quarterfinals, and you guys lost a nail biter to Team Cuba, right? 4-3. It was a back and forth game. You guys were in it the whole time. I guess just let me ask you this. This is hands down the best tournament Team Australia's ever had. I guess maybe except for the silver medal run in the Olympics. So that was a long time ago. And so this is definitely the best WBC you've ever had. And yeah. And you guys were missing some significant players, right? Liam Hendricks, Curtis Mead, Alex Wells, Lewis Thorpe. What do you think is going to happen in 2026? You think you guys are going to load up even more and go even further?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's exciting. I think no matter who we've got in there, we're going to have a chance. But yeah, having those guys, especially the pro guys, to come back and you know, to give it a good ride. When you look back at the game against Cuba, I think they've all been nail biting, and the way we played, we really should have knocked them off. But the way it went, we didn't. But yeah, I mean, if we get a few more arms, you know, and a few guys that are hitting the ball well, it's only going to boost us, right? But I think whoever we have in there, and that's been Australia's DNA, right? We've had guys that are in the big leagues or whatever that just can't play for whatever reason, but it's never really stopped us. So we're a team that gets together like 5-6 times, you know, over 2 years, and there's not many countries in the world that can say that. You know, they can do that. So that's what a team is.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. Yeah, you guys definitely have some reinforcements coming, but you don't need a shortstop. That guy Logan Wade's got that covered, right?
Yeah, I've heard he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's pretty good. So we're all over the place, by the way. I don't know if we had a plan for how we're gonna do this, but I hope that doesn't bother you.
No, not at all.
Let me ask you this. So Team Australia, you know, was amazing at the WBC, furthest you've ever gone. The sport seems to be on the come up. What do you think the difference is between the ABL and then, you know, American baseball versus tournament baseball? I feel like Australian, the ABL has its own sort of niche within there, but obviously I don't play there. So you tell me.
Yeah, I mean, it really comes down to the desire to win. I mean, everyone wants to win. I think when you go into minor league baseball, winning's a priority, right? But everyone's trying to get to the big leagues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like all the Latin countries when they have their winter leagues, like you just watch those games and how exciting they are. It's because the only goal is to win, right? There's no one there just kind of there to push their stats and things like that. So the ABL has this, like, the deep roots within of just winning. Right, everyone wants to win, and the competitiveness of that Claxton Shield trophy at the end of the season is so high. So, you know, when you got every team's got their core group of Australians. So when the Americans or whenever, you know, the Japanese or the Koreans come over, we try and get them to buy into what we're trying to do, and it just makes for great baseball. And I think when everyone's trying to win, it just makes everyone play better. It's like the perfect recipe for great games of baseball. It's like playoff baseball, tournament baseball, every single game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what you mentioned about the difference between ABL and like minor league baseball being like the number one priority being winning. We kind of heard something similar from we interviewed Donovan Benoit from the Cincinnati Reds organization. And he did mention something similar about, like, in the minors, you know, everybody wants to win, but, you know, yeah, there's other things on people's minds. You know, they don't want to be stuck at AA forever. So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I guess it does promote, like, you know, maybe a little bit more exciting brand of baseball. Because there are people who just don't want to watch minor league baseball, probably, you know, for that reason.
Yeah.
I had... do you mind if we go back to the World Baseball Classic for a second? Because I did have a question about that experience. So we mentioned, like, you guys, you know, advanced further than you ever have. What was it like to have Australia sort of graduate into, like, the next tier in World Baseball Classic teams. Because, you know, in prior years, Australia would have been looked at as like a pool play only team. But now, I mean, you know, there's a number of teams that the Australians, even on paper, are just better than. So what's it like to have moved up from, you know, kind of like we started at the bottom, now we're here? What was that experience like for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you kind of expect it, it's a little bit different. But we've as you said, we've just been like a pool team the whole time, and we've never thought that. But when you look at the big picture, like realistically, that's what we were, right? We were just a team that sat around pool A and, you know, came home early. But the belief and the preparation just, you know, got us to where we want to be. But when we found out we were playing Cuba in the quarterfinals, like every time we've played Cuba, we're right there. We are right there. Every time we've played, you know, Taiwan, even sometimes, like we're close. Like when we played them in the Premier 12, you know, through like seven or eight innings, we were there. So like the belief's always there. And then the way you get treated, I don't think we ever want to go back. I don't see us, you know, having a mediocre tournament ever again, because the way we've been treated is very deserving, I think, as well for us. But yeah, the way we've been treated, the guys are expected to, you know, to get out there and just, you know, put on their best performances and making sure that the team comes first. So right where we want to be, really.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that really was something that was on my mind when I, you know, when Ethan told me we were going to be interviewing you, because I was like,
yeah,
you know, a lot of people, even in the previous tournament, were sleeping on Australia. So like, Australia, they play baseball? Like, yeah. Really? And yeah. You guys go out there and beat Korea, and the entire world all of a sudden is like, dude, maybe this Australian team's like for real. And
yeah,
even against Cuba, like you said, you've always played them tough and it's always been close. And that's still true.
Yeah.
The 4-3 nail biter.
Yeah.
The nail biter. I mean, that was one of the best games of the whole tournament. So it really is fun to see how far you guys have come as a team.
Yeah, it was the our bags were on the flights, right? So us and Cuba's bags were on the flights, and whoever lost, they had to take the bags off. So we were leaving that night at midnight. So it was a cool experience. It was a cool experience, that's for sure.
This might be a little mundane, but I guess I'm wondering, because, you know, we've talked about how you guys are on the road so much, you don't get to play in Australia mostly. Obviously, the WBC hasn't had any games in Australia, although I think the qualifiers in 2016 were in Australia, right? Do you guys play?
Correct.
There?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
There was a couple of countries, and yeah, it was in Sydney. It was nice.
So what is it like having to, I know Japan's in the same time zone and everything, but, you know, do you guys consider that a disadvantage to have to be doing all this travel and everything? Or is it just kind of, hey, it doesn't matter where we are, we're going to go there and play our kind of baseball and we're going to win?
Yeah. It doesn't really matter where we are. I've always played big tournaments in Asia. I was saying to one of the guys the other day, I was like, oh, it'd be, you know, kind of different and nice to go and play our pool A in America at spring training, after spring training somewhere. But I think it's kind of helped us because we go over there so much, especially to Japan, and play in their domes, play on their infield, get the feel. Their fans love us. So I think it's kind of helped us out, to be honest. Like with the WBC, the amount of fans, it was Japan up here, and then I think we had the second most support out of the rest of the teams, and obviously Japanese fans, everyone supported us. So just goes to show that, like, you know, we're over there all the time. We're looked after, and I don't see it being a bad thing at all. Not at all, kind of over there. So.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And has that changed at all? You know, I guess, you know, you talked about the way you guys have been treated now that you sort of really put yourselves on the map with the Korea game. Has it changed at all in Australia? Have you seen the strides just over the past year of baseball making a leap?
Yeah. Yep. 100%. And it's just a testament to what's going on right here. I think we've got a sold out stadium. I think it only holds about 3,000, but wow. We've got a sold out stadium here in Melbourne. Sorry, someone's knocking on the door.
Go ahead.
Hey,
we'll have them on the show too.
Just on a podcast.
If you got to go, that's fine.
No. It's probably Adam Whitefield just banging on my door as he's.
We'll get him in here. We'll have him on too.
he's gone.
Yeah. But he was like, "What? It's those guys? Never mind."
He's like, "Oh, I watched that podcast. I don't want to go on there."
I would be honored if Aaron Whitefield watched our podcast. Okay, so let me ask you a completely random question that just popped into my head. Do you play MLB The Show?
I have, but I actually don't own a PlayStation.
That's okay. Really? Do you know that you're in the game?
I do. So when I first got added, I was just like bombarded with all these people like sending me like DMs on, you know, if I made an error or hit a ground out, or even if I hit a home run, they're like, thank you. So I do. Yeah. Since I got added, I got sent a bunch of stuff. It's pretty cool, man.
How did that come about? Did they approach you or something, or were your rights just off in the ether and they just did it on their own?
Yeah. So it's a part of the WBC stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously they come out with a few guys on each team, but it was cool. Like the way that they did it, like, I don't even know how, like, we didn't have to do any video game stuff, right, as a part of the WBC prep, no media for the game. So, like, the way they've got, like, how I look, my swing, like, even my pre-swing, my cleats, everything's perfect, like, exactly right. I can't believe it.
So they put a lot of effort into you, is what you're saying.
Sounds, like, weird to me. Like, I can't imagine, like, looking at myself in a video game and being like, dude, they nailed it. Like, that's exactly what I do.
I know. I think they had, like, what I wear, the tape. I don't know. It's cool. But never in my wildest dreams did I think I'd be on MLB The Show. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's so cool. And I was just wondering, like, how it even came about. Like, because I mean, I'm getting a little bit off in the weeds here. But, you know, when they put Babe Ruth in the game or something, they have to go negotiate with the Babe Ruth estate and pay them money to get him in there and everything. So I was wondering, like, if they just called you up and were like, hey, you're one of the guys we want, or if they had access to everybody and they picked you. Either way, it's super cool. It's an awesome, you know, it's an honor. Yeah. But the whole thing is just wild.
Yeah, no, 100%. 100%. I was surprised that I was on there. But it's cool. The amount of, like, people from every different country in the world that would, like, reach out and say, hey, I got you on my team. So, yeah, it's cool stuff.
That is really cool. That is super cool.
One question that I did have, to go back to the World Baseball Classic again. It's sort of a follow-up to the previous question I had about it. You guys being in that, like, mid-tier now, you know, there's teams below you guys who you guys can kind of look at and be like, you know, what do I think of this team? Like, oh, they, you know what? I like this team. They got heart, you know. And two of the teams that that we had in mind, Ethan wanted to ask about the Chinese team. I wanted to ask about the Czech team. You guys played both of them. What did you guys think of those programs? Do you think that there's a lot of promise there? Because the Czech team was another big story of the tournament, and you guys saw them firsthand.
100%. Yep. Czech. I mean, I wasn't surprised as to, because that was going to be the hardest game of the tournament for us, because we kind of had this plan, beat Korea, beat Japan, da da da, and then it would always come down to the Czech game, no matter what, right?
Mm.
And just looking at their guys on paper, most of them are pro guys. I mean, they had their second baseman was a big leaguer, center fielder was a prospect, their shorts, they're all prospects, they're all pro guys. A couple of the Australian guys have actually been over to the European leagues and played against some of them, and they said, hey, don't sleep on them. And we didn't, but we just knew that they were kind of in a position where we have been in previous years, where, like, you know, they're coming over here as a team, and they play maybe even together as a team more than us within their European leagues. So they're in a similar position to us, but hey, I was very, very surprised. Same with China. Like, everyone's out there to win any way they can, right? So whether it's small ball, whether it's every team's different, but, like, you know, the intensity of those WBC or Premier 12 games are like no other. So you really can't sleep on any team. And you know, in the Premier 12 coming up, I think we might be in a pool with, like, Italy maybe, or Mexico. So those guys are so good. Everyone's so good. So it's going to make for good baseball, that's for sure.
Yeah, that was exciting to watch. Like, I remember watching that Czech game, and they put up a pretty good scrap for most of the game, I think. They held it pretty close.
Yeah.
through the first like seven innings or something, and then you guys kind of broke out the bats.
Yeah, then Logan Wade personally.
That's true. Logan, yeah, there's that Logan Wade guy again showing up.
Yeah.
But I remember they played you guys pretty well. Like they looked pretty good. And I kind of sat there thinking while I was watching the game where I was like, man, this is kind of what Australia was, you know what I mean? Before this tournament where they sort of broke out. Like I remember in 2017, you guys had a really good game against Japan and you held it really close for like seven or eight innings. And I remember thinking like, that's what the Czech team's doing now. You know what I mean? Like, you know, give them 10 years and they'll probably be able to hold their own. So that was exciting. It was really cool to kind of see Australia be the powerhouse now. You know what I mean? Fending off the young upstart. It was really fun. Can I go 100%. Back to the ABL for a second?
Yeah, sure.
So I want to talk about the Brisbane Bandits. You guys made the playoffs again this year. You won four straight championships a few years back. And for a long time, your manager was, in my opinion, the greatest Australian to ever come out, or the greatest baseball player to ever come out of Australia, David Neilson. I guess I want to know, what's it like being such a part of such a storied franchise? And Logan, what's it like now being the elder statesman there? I think you're sort of the veteran leader, right?
Yeah, it's crazy to think, because I don't feel that old. But like when some of these young guys come in, like 20, 21, 22, it's crazy. I kind of like remember it like it was yesterday when I was, you know, their age getting into it. But yeah, the dynasty that we created there was really, really cool. It was kind of like the Bandits had to go through something like that. I think it was time. Before that, we weren't a team. We were like one of like the low tier teams, and a core group of us just all stayed together. And similar to the Australian team, like obviously Dingo, David Neilson managed us through that. And then he came on board with Team Australia. I mean, it's kind of like the similar thing. We've kind of just taken it across to this team. Dingo's obviously at the helm, and it's a testament to what he's done back at the Bandits and the organisation, and then obviously coming over to Team Australia. But being a part of the Bandits has been really cool, right? I've been a part of the old style. I was there, very early as a rookie, and then I was there for the championships, and then now we're kind of in a little bit of a area now where we've got some other young guys coming up that are going to make their own mark, and I'm still a part of it, so... Pretty cool. Bandits a great organization, top organization in the ABL, and I don't see it, I don't see them slowing down. So, once again, I've been privileged the last 6 years. I've been really, really privileged to be a part of some cool teams and under some great coaches.
So, another question I have about the ABL, maybe to sort of follow up on this. You mentioned these rookies coming in. MLB has sort of started to take ABL a little more seriously, and you're starting to see more MLB prospects go over there to like play in what over here is the winter. When you see guys like that, like Acuna and Reese Hoskins played over there for a while, players like that, does that make native Australians, are they like, okay, we got to up our game now, if we're gonna hang with guys like this? Is that something that has had an impact on the way that native Australians are approaching ABL?
100%, 100%. And all those guys that have come over, most of the time they're really young, so they're still kind of like navigating their own game. But man, guys like played against Greg Bird this year. He's over here doing great things. And the general trend of it all is that they love coming over here. All these young guys that are in our teams, they just feed off these guys too. So when you see Acuna here, when you see, a lot of these guys that have played in the big leagues that have gone back over and play in the big leagues, like, Didi Gregorius he played in Canberra. He's younger. So there's been some big, big guys come over here. But just the way that the transition of our young guys feeding off them, and then them feeding off obviously the older guys, like, some of these young prospects, who knows how it went, but it coming over here has shaped the way that they are over there now. I remember playing against Reese Hoskins, and I mean, man, he's probably one of the best hitters I've seen come through the ABL. And he's just continued it. So it's a part of his journey. And I'm sure if you asked him, he probably had great things to say, I hope, about the ABL and that's another thing. Us guys from organizations, Australians, when these guys come over, we want them to give them the best time possible. So I think it's a win-win.
Cool. Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Logan, we're running up against the clock here. Is there anything is there anything we didn't get to that, you know, you think is important to know about Australian baseball, or is there anything you'd like to plug, any handles or anything you got?
No, I just think, you know, personally, like me being on here is pretty cool, but representing the Australian Baseball League, representing Team Australian Baseball, there's going to be some great, great things to come. And I think, in a podcast like yourself, you know, there's so many stories to be told. Like the guy who just knocked on my door, Aaron Wrightfield. I'm not sure if you've spoken to him or met him or things like that. Like guys who have played in the big leagues and have been around the world. Like a lot of them are going to Mexico. So there's a lot of stories to be told with these players and the Australian team. And I think from here on in, there's going to be even bigger things to come out of these tournaments and coming out of baseball in Australia. I think there's going to be a young kid that's going to go and, you know, one of the first picks of the draft this year. So it's just cool to see. And as an older guy, being a part of it all, it's the way that the game's grown and the way that the game's changed as well. Everyone in Australia's, you know, going along with it. And I think there's only good things to come. So we appreciate the support from the Americans. We feel it. And, you know, I'm sitting here about to play against one of the best teams in Korea tonight. So only good things.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this has been an honor. And, you know, I would like to say that we have a cool 48 subscribers on YouTube. So we're definitely doing our part to spread the word about Australian baseball.
It's fine, man.
Yeah, we're really putting asses in seats, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Keep going.
Yeah, yeah. That sold out stadium you were talking about, 48 of those are thanks to us.
40. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, no, this has been awesome, man. Thanks for wasting a half hour of your day with us. And if you're willing, let's do it again soon. And then, you know, we can talk about, you know, whatever's on your mind. We talk sports, politics, anything you'd like.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. Thanks so much, man. This has been awesome. And I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Josh. Thanks
all right. Take it easy,
on.
Man. Give him
all right,
up.
Logan. See you later. Guys. Big thank you to Logan Wade for coming on to the Unofficial Baseball Podcast, really putting us on the map down under. You know, listen, in Australia, they got to deal with a lot, all right? They have gigantic spiders, okay? But you know what they have now? They have an appearance on the Unofficial Baseball Podcast. And you know what? That means something. That counts for something to a lot of people. So I'm glad we were able to bring that to the nation of Australia. And thank you to Logan Wade for giving us the opportunity to do a real service to the nation.
Yeah. No, you know what? They should be thanking us is what we're getting at.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I want to be clear about that.
In lieu of flowers, we'll take cash.
Yeah, cash, subscriptions, you know.
Yeah.
Free tickets to ABL games. I mean, any of it, really.
Well, the only problem is then we got to get there. That's still a lot of money in airfare.
Flying's free.
If they cover our way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the $4,000 it costs to fly to Australia or whatever.
Yeah. Exactly.
Where's your layover for Australia? It's just in Australia.
Yeah. They probably do direct flights.
Yeah. I got a layover.
Yeah, maybe they do a layover in like Guam. I don't know.
Yeah, I got a layover in like
Tahiti,
like the Caroline Islands.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Hang on, honey. I gotta stop in the Solomons on my way to Australia.
Yeah, I got a layover in Kwajalein. Let's return this back into the history podcast.
Isn't that guy that played catcher for Team Taiwan?
The Sharding catcher?
Yeah, the Sharding catcher. Anyway.
Back to the serious matter at hand.
Yeah.
Like I said in the intro, that might have been one of my favorite interviews we've ever done.
Yeah, Logan Wade was awesome.
Phenomenal. And I'm looking forward to a... I'm looking forward to a blossoming relationship between the baseball podcast and arguably our favorite national team, the Australian team.
Wait, why is it arguably? Who else do you?
Well, because as I mentioned to Ethan off the air, I am officially, my goal is to turn this into a Team Australia and Team Czech Republic diehard fan podcast, or die. So if that doesn't happen, I'm not going to say that on the podcast, but you guys know where I'm going with that.
Well, here's the thing, though.
About to get flagged on YouTube.
We don't have to worry about it because Logan Wade made our dreams come true. But anyway,
in more ways than one.
Oh, oh, really?
That's not what I meant. Okay.
he's a handsome fella. Did you see that guy's arms, by the way?
Listen, he's a professional athlete, dog. I mean, what do you expect?
That's true. That's true.
He's a Sharding shortstop.
He's a Sharding shortstop.
I'm not going to let that go. Okay. It's just not going to get let go. You really besmirched that guy after he came on. He took time
after
out of his day.
After he did something nice for me.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, that was awesome. That was definitely one of my favorite episodes we've done. And I was so excited because I'm such a big Team Australia fan. Like, I just love everything about Australia. I think it's so cool. And so I was super excited to like finally be able to like ask all the questions that I had pent up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And speaking of pent up.
Whoa.
And so
this
I was really
podcast
I was
about to get bumped up to PG-13.
Oh. So I was super
excited.
I
have to log in on YouTube to watch this. Verify that you're 18 or older.
I was super excited to have Logan Wade on, and he definitely met all my expectations. He was super fun.
Yeah.
He was super nice. He laughed with us. You know what I mean? There was no, like, sometimes, you know, like, yeah, have you ever had somebody, I'm saying this like you've never had this happen before. You know, when somebody just doesn't get your humor, you know what I mean? And you'll like,
yeah,
make
that,
sort of like,
dude,
a stupid joke, and they'll be like,
but for fans of the podcast out there, this is the majority of people.
Yeah. But Logan Wade just took everything in stride. And there was even a brief peripheral appearance from big leaguer Aaron Whitefield. So that was fun.
Yeah. He made an audio only appearance.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Hey, yeah. Hey, I can die today knowing that I recorded a podcast where you could hear the knock of a big leaguer. So
yeah,
that's what matters.
Hey,
but
listen,
no, it was
to take this, to take this into the future a little bit. Speaking of big leaguers, we may have a future big leaguer coming on, as we've announced before. But for those of you who missed the last podcast, we have a rich schedule coming up, and one of them, the big get, many would say, we have friend of the podcast Gabe Rincones Jr. of the Phillies returning. So we're going to be talking to him on the eve of spring training. This is a big year for him because he's kind of a big deal now. Listen, if I can pat him on the back from afar here. So we're looking forward to that. We also have Sam Allen from he was on the Monarchs, right?
The Kansas City Monarchs.
Kansas City Monarchs. So he was a Negro League player. My understanding is that he's a little bit of a almost like a Negro League like ambassador.
Yeah, spokesman,
lack of a better term.
Like
he kind of goes around and, you know, talks about his experiences, things like that. Who else do we have coming on?
So, yes, so we've got Sam Allen. We've got Gabe Rincones coming on again. We have two already recorded that just aren't out yet. One was with Daniel Alvarez Montes of El Extrabase. How was that?
Yes.
Yes. And we talked a lot about the WBC and Team Venezuela and stuff.
And
Elvis
Araujo.
And Elvis Araujo, of course. And then we also had on Yeary, the creator of Baseball Stat CZ, correct? This is your thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the name of his website. He's sort of the stat nerd for Extraliga and the other Czech baseball leagues, because they have a relegation and promotion system. So they're kind of all one big league, but Extraliga is their top league. So that's the one that everybody kind of talks about.
I did not know that, actually. Thank you for explaining that. But so he basically created their sort of Czech baseball reference, correct?
Yeah.
So that was a really cool conversation. So we had Daniel on and Yuri on. Sam Allen's coming up. Gabe Rincones is coming up. At some point, we're going to have on Ed Lydus, who has a baseball radio show in Connecticut, and we went on his show, and he did an episode on baseball podcasters. I don't know if you thought this was funny as I did, Tom. I don't know if you listened to the final product, but Ed texted me. We had kind of been talking a little bit, and he texted me and said, hey, why don't you and Tom come on? You know, we'll talk about your podcast and sort of just dig into how you guys, you know, came up with this idea, how you put it together, whatever. Okay, no problem. So we went and did it. He sends me over the show. And I forget who the other two people were, but one was like the guy who did like the post game shows for the Chicago White Sox. So he's on the air every day with like Ozzie Guillen and stuff. Right. And then another one was, I forget, but he worked for like Buster Olney and stuff like that. He was like a big deal. I think he was on like the Baseball Tonight podcast and stuff. Okay. And then me and you.
Yeah.
And then, us. and then these two idiots.
How'd you guys get started? Well, we were sitting on the couch at Ethan's mom's house.
Yeah, exactly.
And talking about Aramis Ramirez.
And then the best part though, he led off the show with us.
Well, dude, you gotta start strong, you know.
True. But
that podcast OBP.
We do. Yeah. But it wasn't as if, you know, he had two really solid guests and then was like, we got another 15 minutes to fill, whatever, throw in these two idiots. It was him being like, hey, welcome back to our show. Great show in store for you. Here's Ethan and Tom.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Great show in store for you after these guys.
yeah, exactly. But so Ed, nice.
When are we going to stop knocking ourselves down here on the podcast? All right. This is officially a self-esteem podcast.
No, it's not. Guys, it's a lack of self-esteem.
Yeah, guys, welcome to the self-esteem podcast. Welcome to the self-love podcast. Okay, log in to verify that you're 18. We're here to talk about, you know, we're here to talk about treating yourself the way you would treat your friends in life.
Yeah, that's true.
So we're going to work on that, okay? Next time we're going to come back, we're really going to be thumping our chests about those 48 subscribers that we have.
Hey, after Logan Wade, we might get it all the way up to 50.
Whoa.
Yeah,
Logan like Wade a couple and Aaron Australians. Whitehead.
Yeah, Aaron Whitefield.
I like Aaron Whitehead better.
Yeah, you're like, oh, too late. Pick it up with Aaron.
Yeah. Hey, get him one of those Fanatics jerseys that they're handing out now and change the name.
So anyway.
That we have to save for a later episode that we have not unveiled yet, but we will be talking about that.
So we've got Sam Allen coming up. We've got Gabe coming up again. Ed Lattice at some point will be coming on. We got in touch with the Belgian national team. So they have a guy named Jamie Flynn, who I think is sort of their team captain. He's been around forever. So at least he said he was in. I'm not sure if they have other guys that are willing to talk to us, too. But so we'll be talking some Belgian baseball, which is cool because they're sort of like definitely a rising team in the European tournaments. And then we also got in touch with Richard Baker, who's the I'm forgetting the title off the top of my head, but basically the media guy for the WBSC, the World Baseball Softball Confederation. So I think that'll be really interesting just to, you know, we get into all these different sort of niches of baseball in a certain place or a certain thing to do with baseball. I think it'll be super interesting to just dive into how does world baseball run? How did it start? Who, you know what I mean? How do you guys do these things? So I'm looking forward to that. I think that's everything on the docket. That's, I don't know, 5-6 shows. Wait a minute. I forgot. We have a special, I guess we'll have to time this correctly, but in theory, the idea is to do a 50th episode special with best friend of the show, Sean Spradling. And we came up with a really cool idea for that I don't want to blow yet because if it falls apart.
We're going to unveil that when it happens. We also... Yeah. For fans of MLB The Show, for those of you who got that Logan Wade card.
Yes, thank you.
We are in intense negotiations with Kenny DeJohn's people about getting him back on the podcast. And I would say that it's more than just us kicking the tires. So for those of you who were fans of Kenny DeJohn, we're fans of Kenny DeJohn as well, and we're looking forward to having him back on. So
we are.
Listen, we're taking this way too long. We've gone to places we never thought we would go. We're more than in the week. We're in the heavy rough. We're not even on the golf course anymore. Like, dog, where are you?
We're back out. We're like out on the highway now.
Yeah. So, let's wrap this up. A lot of this, I have a feeling, will not survive the editing process. But you know what? And you know me, I'm always here for just leaving all of it in.
That's fine. I don't care. It'll depend on how much I feel like editing later.
Right. Yeah. So listen, guys, thanks for thanks for coming out and hanging out with Logan Wade with us. You know,
this in all seriousness, this was one of my favorite episodes. This was super, super fun. I really like talking to Logan.
And, you know, I know somebody else who actually emailed me while we were on the podcast who said that this was one of his favorite episodes already. He has early access to the stream. He's a friend of the podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's a man who pioneered. He didn't really pioneer the Smedium jersey, but he sort of brought it back, circa 2007, 2008. He's actually his name's Dan Ugla.
Oh, what was that?
And you know, I do have to say that his name is Dan Ugla, and he wanted to relay a message to the fans. He said that he loves you guys, he honors you guys, and most importantly, he wants to see you on the next episode of the Baseball Podcast. So keep that in mind, keep it close to your hearts as you go about your life, and remember to always come back to the Baseball Podcast. Huge thank you to Logan Wade for coming on to the Baseball Podcast, really putting us on the map down under.
Should we start over?
No, I don't want to start over. I want to leave this in.
Wait, can we start it? I'm just laughing for no reason at all.
That's why I want to leave it in.
I'm getting punchy. It's 11:52.
Okay, but I expect this to go on the next
at the end. Reel. I'll put a blooper reel at the end.
Yeah, I expect. Right. Dude, you've been walking bleeper reel. Hell yeah! Let's get that in there. You've been a walking blooper reel in this podcast, this sharding shortstop.
This is a nightmare.
Sharding shortstop's hilarious. I like want that to be a podcast meme now. That's Trey Turner when he makes three errors in a game. He's the sharding shortstop for the Phillies.
Can we find a way to have on Wojtek Menchik sharding shortstop for Team Czech Republic?
Yeah, but here's the challenge. We're not allowed to look up or ask Yuri or anything how to pronounce his name, and we have to just be like, is that right?
I feel Wojtek Menchik. I feel relatively confident about
Wojtek Menchik. I think that is right, but honestly, I really don't want to go out on a limb on that because it's probably not.
Well, I felt confident about Adam Mako. Evidently not.
Yeah, was it Moxco?
Motzko.
Motzko. Okay. Yeah. It's, listen, guys, it's tough. Those so choice. Anyway. Anyway, that's the blooper reel.
All right, reel. We'll start it over.
All right.